the FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Yes, hello again, one and all. We're back with the FWA podcast, which pits the best football writers in the business every week, looking at some of the biggest stories of the week. This week, I'm delighted to say that we've got Paddy Barclay from the London Evening Standard with us. Hi, Paddy, you well?
Hi, Lee. Yes, very well indeed, thanks.
Excellent. A lot of you will recognise the tones of Paddy, a regular on the media circuit. We're going to talk about a few different things this week, Paddy. One thing is the Ballon d'Or, the FIFA Dream Team, if you like, and how close a Premier League player and a British player maybe an English player is to get in that. We have a little chat about the goal line technology after last weekend's Premier League action. We'll also talk about the situation at Southampton, have a look at the latest manager odds, and we'll look forward to a big Premier League weekend. Should we get the nasty stuff out of the way first and the goal line technology, Paddy? I mean, I've seen a lot this week people talking about whether it should be scrapped and we should have two men on either line, or whether we should be scratched, we should have a video refereeing system like we have in rugby league, like we have in cricket. How successful has it been so far? Because we saw about three in the first weekend. We barely see them now, do we?
We've had a couple, but it's just such a small part of the game. And my argument's always been that the really blatant ones, like Frank Lampard 3.5 years ago in the World Cup against Germany, Pedro Mendes at Old Trafford about 8-9 years ago now. The really blatant ones, you know, a kid with a video screen could sort those out. You know, I mean, they're obvious, and I don't think we need all this money. I personally would just like video monitoring so that the fourth official sees what the viewer sees and is able to correct those things. But I wouldn't like to bet on it. And I don't know what we can get, but I just feel that it's so unlikely, given that Sepp Blatter's placed all his chips, if you like, on goal line technology, and Michel Platini doesn't even like that. So I think the most powerful men in football are so against what I would say is the common sense way that we'll probably never get it. I mean, just very briefly, that we all saw the game Newcastle-Chelsea. Tiek Tiote's goal that was and should have been given, and you're quite right to talk about the two judges that Platini has in UEFA games, which should have sorted that one out. But you know, the goal line technology just says goal. Because the ball crosses the line. Well, it got that one right, that's for sure. But I mean, I think we all know the ball got in the net. So why do we need goal line technology? We need a telly. That's the way I feel, but frankly, I'm just not sure that it's a good bet at this moment.
No, it's an interest. I mean, your traditionalists would say leave the game alone. This is what we've made pub discussions out of. This is what we fill column inches of papers.
The problem is, if you leave the game alone, Lee, then you don't have any television of it. Because when the laws were framed, there was no television. All I'm asking for, and people who agree with me, all we're asking for is for the balance between spectator and referee that existed when the laws were drafted in the pre-television age to be updated to allow for the television age. Simple as that.
And then you throw into the mix the offside rule, which obviously was a major thing with the Tiote goal, wasn't it? You know, whether that player, you know, the old Bill Shankly quote, if you're on the field of play, you're interfering with the game, which I know it's a long time ago that was said, but
all I can say, Lee, is I like the offside law now more than I have ever liked it before. And I think that if you look at the number of offside interruptions in games, they're a lot less than they were, in the 80s now. You get maybe 3, 4, or 5 offsides in a game, and it flows better as a result. So, I think it's not bad. I think the law's all right. I just wish we were better at sorting things out when they do go spectacularly wrong, as they did on Sunday.
Yeah, the referee's been stood down from this weekend's Premier League games.
I suppose you can have any complaints, especially after the foul on Nasri that put Nasri out of the game for 2 weeks, and he just issued a yellow for that. So I suppose he can't have any complaints.
A bad day all round.
A bad day, We all have them.
Yes, indeed. Cristiano Ronaldo had a fantastic night, winning the Ballon d'Or. At last, a lot of people may say, and you could tell he was genuinely emotionally pleased to win that. Just have a look at some of the stats before we get onto the subject matter. His rivals for the accolade were Messi and Ribéry, of course. Ronaldo scored 66 goals, Messi 42, Ribéry 22. Ronaldo had a staggering 160 shots on target and 136 off target during the voting process. Messi 87 and 59, and Ribéry 56 and 36. Interestingly, Ribéry's accuracy was better, because we get into the nitty gritty of stats, and Messi's chance conversion was better. But it was about time that Cristiano Ronaldo won it. I mean, just a phenomenal player, and just fabulous that we've seen him on these shores, and hopefully we'll see him again at some point.
Yes, I know Manchester United want him back. And that's a permanent offer. He knows that if he wants to come back to Manchester United, he can any time he likes. I agree. I think he thoroughly deserved it. Of course, what he has to do now is to try and retain it. Mm. And I'd be interested to know the odds.
3-1.
3-1. Well, that's tempting.
Messi's 13-8. He's the favourite.
You see, that's it. It so much may depend on the World Cup, mightn't it? Yeah. If Argentina win, or if Portugal get to the final, or whatever, that could tip the balance. And of course, so will the Champions League. Since we're talking about the Champions League, I think I would put money on a Premier League player getting into that dream team in a year's time.
You would, right? So when you looked at the list this year, and I sat and watched some of it, I was in a hotel room sitting and watching the team announced. It was Neuer from Bayern Munich and Gerald Lahm, also Bayern Munich, Sergio Ramos from Real Madrid, Thiago Silva from PSG, Dani Alves from Barcelona with his teammates Andres, Iniesta and Xavi, Ribéry of course from Bayern in midfield as well. Then you had that front three of Cristiano Ronaldo, Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Lionel Messi, which is mouthwatering, to say the least. When I watched it though, Paddy, I kind of thought that's what made me think about that this subject. It struck me that despite the season that Robin van Persie had last season in the Premier League, I couldn't see a Premier League player getting anywhere near that. They seem to be a level above.
Yes.
How close are we now? In the betting, Suarez is in the betting for the 2014 Ballon d'Or at 10-1. And he's the first Premier League player in that list. Sergio Aguero is 25-1. In between that, incidentally, and we'll come on to talk about maybe a British player, Gareth Bale is 25-1 as well. How close are we to supplying a player in the Ballon d'Or from the Premier League, English or foreign?
First of all, to take the Premier League thing, so we can't adopt Gareth Bale anymore. But I think a very, very good chance indeed. I think the Suarez odds are tempting because, people say England have got a rotten draw in the World Cup. Why? Because they're playing against Suarez. Yeah. So if he knocks England out and goes on once again to take to help Uruguay to something like the semi-finals as he did 3.5 years ago in South Africa, you're talking about a world star and possibly one of the world stars, up there with the guys you've mentioned before, Ronaldo and Messi. So, I'm very tempted by 10-1 there. Of course, there's always the danger of an implosion with Suarez. He lives on the edge. So far, he's been brilliant on his behaviour since he came back into the Premier League. There's a good one. There's a possibility. Eden Hazard with Chelsea. Now, if Chelsea go a long way in the Champions League, I know this is all ifs, but he could be a good long shot to get in. The other thing is, you talk about Aguero. He is well remembered by the Hispanic judges. The players who play for Spain or in South America, they know him inside out. So there'll be no there'll be no overlooking his feats. The other thing is, Manchester City, something good, something really big is going to happen to them. We all know it. We can feel it in our bones. Mm. We don't know whether it's the Champions League. We don't know whether it's the Premier League. We don't know whether it's both. But if it's either, Yaya Toure. I mean, a giant. Yeah. The only thing that could stop him, of course, is people voting for Fernandinho, his partner, who's emerged this season. There's another candidate for you. And I also wouldn't rule out, particularly if Germany have a good World Cup, I wouldn't rule out Mertesacker establishing himself ahead maybe of Sergio Ramos next season. Who knows?
Interesting. Yeah, a few of those players you mentioned. I mean, Yaya Touré is 80-1. Eden Hazard is 66-1. So there's some big prices. But as
I think William Hill might be having to pay out one or two of us if we once we get on to that one. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, we shall see.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Now I think that Sergio Aguero one as well, with obviously with the you know, with the World Cup, that will have a major bearing this year, and obviously that's why they've, you know, I think the Messi odds are as short as they are. And just as an aside, this question gets asked to most people in football: who is your favourite player out of the two? We'll say Messi and Ronaldo because they're the two. Who is not on stats or anything, who in your gut, who is your favourite?
I mean, you want to get me into trouble like Sepp Blatter? Lee, this is not fair, but all right. All I can say, right, so let me try and answer it this way, because you did say favourite and I'll answer it.
Yeah, I guess.
If you offered me them one or other on a free transfer to win so that I could win the league and become seen as the greatest manager of all time, I'd go for Ronaldo.
Right, yeah.
If you asked me which one I want to watch every week, I'd say Messi.
Fair enough.
So does that answer the question?
Perfectly. Yep. Perfectly well. I think that is the best way of putting it. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, you take both.
If you buy, suppose you're manager of Everton or something, and somebody offers you them both, you could be sure that Ronaldo would improve your team by 15, 20 goals a season. You wouldn't know how Messi would fit in, would you?
We're still not sure about him on a Tuesday night at the Britannia, are we?
I'll tell you what, there are a few Stoke fans that wouldn't mind finding out.
Exactly, yeah. Southampton Football Club, we're going along quite nicely. Looking like a mid-table, maybe even a bit higher finish this season, playing the right way, doing everything right, and then suddenly the fans must be asking themselves, what's going on all of a sudden? Pochettino almost gave himself made his own bed, really, hasn't he? You know, when he said last season about if Cortese goes, I go.
Yep.
Now, Five Live have been playing out that interview this morning on their news bulletins, which may be a little unfair. Maybe things have changed. Maybe he's settled into life in England more. It's a strange old situation because Cortese has gone.
Yep.
And now, where does that leave Pochettino? In terms of the odds, he's now even money to be the seventh Premier League manager to leave his post. Six already gone, of course.
Yeah, those strike me as sensible odds because I don't know. And the word we got this morning was that he would decide after, well, he hasn't really got much time. They've got to prepare the team and for the game, the lunchtime game on Saturday at Sunderland, and Sunderland are coming into form, so that's going to be a real tough game. And he'll decide afterwards. So I think we'll know by the weekend. But, you know, I wouldn't like to call it because, you know, it has been pointed out that, you know, the Liebherr family, who obviously have fallen out with Nicola Cortese, and that's the reason for his departure. They've had a disagreement. They have put a lot of money into Southampton Football Club. These wonderful facilities that are being built up at their training ground and so on, you know, are funded by the Liebherr family as well as the fans. So it remains to be seen what happens. It remains to be seen whether a buyer is lined up for the club, the Liebherr family, Katharina here. We don't know which way she wants to jump, whether she wants to take an interest in the club or sell it. My guess would be the latter. And there are, you know, the with the economies across the world recovering, you know, there shouldn't be too much trouble finding a buyer for a ready-made club like Southampton. So we'll have to see. But it is a pity. But you know, if clubs are free enterprise, as they are here, maybe not in Spain or Germany to quite the same degree, you get your Jack Walker one day at Blackburn and you get your Venkies the next, and you have to take the rough with the smooth, and it's tough, but That's football.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
Where did I get that phrase from?
but that's what makes it wonderful in one sense.
It makes it excitingly.
Yeah, yeah. Those odds, as I said, Pochettino now even money to be the seventh Premier League manager to leave. Just tread carefully, though, because this time last week, Sam Allardyce was 1-5 to be the next manager to go. He's now 8-1, Sam Allardyce, to be the next manager to leave his post.
I'm glad I didn't put my mortgage on him.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Hughton, 2-1, incidentally. No manager to leave before the end of the season is 8-1, and then you jump up to Paul Lambert 14-1. He was around much shorter than that this time last week. It seems a defeat to Arsenal has helped him out a little.
That's extraordinary. I've got something to say about Paul Lambert's team before we part company today, Lee, but anyway, I'm sure you'll get to that when you're ready.
Well, let's look at the Premier League weekend then, shall we? The TV games this weekend see the game that we've already talked about, Sunderland versus Southampton, kicking it all off with some added intrigue and a little bit of a flip round in fortunes as well. The TV game on Saturday evening is Liverpool versus Aston Villa, which we're going to talk about in a second, as Paddy alluded to. Swansea Tottenham on Sunday at 1:30. The big one, Chelsea versus Manchester United at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. You can bet your bottom dollar that Mourinho won't park the bus at home against Manchester like he did at Old Trafford. Yeah. And West Brom Everton on Monday evening. A few interesting games on Saturday with Arsenal and Manchester City playing, Crystal Palace taking on Stoke, West Ham Newcastle and Norwich versus Hull. But that TV game on Saturday, Paddy, you've identified that one as where your bet of the week might come from.
Yeah, that's my bet of the week, because I guess you'd get attractive odds. It's for Aston Villa to achieve a score draw. I mean, the score I see there is 2-2, and the reason, I mean, you know, pick yourself up the floor and off the floor, and this is the reason. Benteke scored, and I think that, you know, might be a little bit of a dam bursting effect, and he'll enjoy. What are Aston Villa good at? Counter attack. That's why they get more joy away from home than in front of their own fans. They're a good counter-attacking team with pace up front. Not just Benteke, but Gabby Agbonlahor, who for me must be an absolute nightmare for defenders. You know, you think you've got things under control and suddenly bursts at you. Plus, there's Andreas Weimann, who's quick. Maybe not in the same class as the other two as a player, but, you know, he's quick enough and he's a little pest. So I think that Liverpool won't have it their own way. And I think that Liverpool's defence is not the best part of the team. And I can see Villa scoring a goal or two. I still think Liverpool has got enough for a draw. So I just have a feeling that given a decent deal and decent odds, I'd definitely go for 2-2 or at least a score draw.
Let me throw a few bets at you then, Paddy, that you can do on the... On the William Hill website. First of all, the score draw, any score draw, is 6-1. The draw itself is 5-1, which is a big price for a draw. I mean, generally in Premier League betting, the draw hovers around the kind of between 2-1 and 5-2. So 5-1 for a draw is a very big price. Aston Villa are 10-1 to win the game, incidentally. The bets surrounding Benteke that you obviously like him to score, it's 4-1 for him just to score a goal, whatever the result may be, 11-1 to score the first goal. And then what you can do is you can put together goal scorers and scores. So for instance, you could have Christian Benteke to score in a draw at 10-1. Doesn't have to be the first goal anytime. Christian Benteke to score.
Is that a score draw? Well, obviously. He can't score in a goalless draw, well, I like that. Now, that I do like. Yeah. That I really like. In fact, that I'm having.
Yes, you like that. If you really wanted to go crazy and you wanted to go for Christian Benteke to get the first goal in a 2-2 draw, and I know that's asking quite a lot, but, you know, it could happen. 280-1, that is.
Oh, dear.
So this is what happens, you see. You start finding bigger and bigger prizes.
I'm reaching for my wallet. This is mouth-watering.
But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those games, I think. I'm interested that you picked it out, because it's one of those games that, on the face of it, you think to yourself, and let's be fair, come 8 o'clock on Saturday night, Liverpool might have won 3-1, and everyone, you know, and 1-4.
It was predictable.
But it's one of those where, that just because of Villa's performance in the last 20 minutes against Arsenal, the fact that Benteke, and the odds are such, and let's not forget Benteke scored 3 goals when he was playing very well against Liverpool last season. He scored 2 in the 3-1 win at Anfield last season.
Oh, well, you see, I wasn't even taking that into account.
And there's that thing about players. You know, players love going to ground where they scored, and it'll be the right time for him. So I can see why you picked it.
Right,
it's got something about it. Yeah, okay. Interesting one.
Okay, so no scoffing. That's good. No. I'm pleased. I'm encouraged. Yeah,
we like value bets. That's good. That's all good. And then when the 1-4 lands, you kind of think, oh well, it was a bit of fun, wasn't it? Yeah, you know, it's a pound or whatever it is. Whatever your stake is. Yeah. Paddy, that'll do us for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lee. Very enjoyable. Great fun. Totally enjoy it. Now I'm looking forward. Looking forward to spending my winnings on Monday.
Yes. Don't ring me if it doesn't
don't worry.
Paddy Barclay, thank you very much for your time. That's great. You can listen to the FWA podcast at footballwriters.co.uk. That's the website for the Football Writers Association. You can also listen to it at William Hill's page, williamhill.com/podcasts. It's available on iTunes, and it's also available at audioboo.fm. So make sure you download it, have a listen, and we'll be back next week for more of the same. If you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.